And I was thinking that maybe, you know, we could start with an introduction to just sort of tell our listeners a little bit about who we are and what the context of this conversation is. So, for the sake of greater context, we actually do know each other. We're not like two strangers that came together for the purposes of this podcast. Exactly. Right. Yeah. We do actually know each other. You are 22 years old, about to be 23.
Yes.
And I am 47 years old. And hence the title of this podcast.
We're different generations.
Exactly. Different generations, different points of view. So obviously, part of what hopefully we'll be able to do is talk about the same thing, but seen from these two different points of view. And one of the things that we share, which is going to be the topic of today's conversation, is what happens when you leave your hometown and you move someplace and you move abroad. You just go someplace completely new and everything that goes along with it.
Yeah, and in this case, we're across the world from where we lived.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about where we're from?
Okay, so me, I'm from Mexico City.
Well, I'm from Mexico City too, you know.
Yes, but you have a more complicated background than me.
Okay, all right.
That you can tell later. But I'm from Mexico City, born and raised until I was 19. And then at 19, I moved to Valencia in Spain. So that's me. And then you.
And so I am also originally from Mexico City, but also because I am older, I've lived in other places, and perhaps people can tell that I have a bit of an American accent, from Connecticut, as some would say.
Exactly.
But I moved to Valencia, Spain as well, about a year before you did. And the reason why there's that overlapping coincidence is probably another interesting episode further on down the line that we can explain how our lives crossed and why how it is that we actually share this. But yeah, so basically we're both from Mexico City, and we both moved to Valencia, Spain at more or less the same time.
Yes.
And one of the things that I was thinking about the other day that I thought might be like one of the reasons why I thought it might be cool to talk about this with somebody else is because I was remembering my first few months here. And I remember thinking back then that a lot of people say that when you live a change like moving to a new place or starting a new job or something like that, they always use the phrase of the honeymoon period, like where everything is like rosy and beautiful and fantastic and like reality hasn't really set in.
Yeah.
Did you have that? Like when you first moved here, did you experience something like that?
I think for me first, like, I came to Valencia, remember, the summer before I moved here. And I remember that summer, I wasn't really planning on moving, but the possibility was there. So even though it was only a vacation, I really started to analyze Valencia like as something more. So I think at that time, I was in a honeymoon period of exploring the city and seeing how it could be. Y luego ya, when I was in Valencia, like when I actually moved, at first for me it was different, I think, because I had all my expectations towards university and making friends. So at the start, I was like really happy about the different quality of life, I think. And everything was so new and so pretty. But I also was worried because I had this other thing of, I need to meet new people, and what if I don't meet new people? So I think for me, actually, for me, it got better over time, and it was not like the first months were the best, I think.
That's interesting. One of the things, and I say that it's interesting because, as it's turned out for me, and maybe for you too, but in a different way, but meeting new people from Valencia, like actual Valencians, for me has been next to impossible. Like, yeah. I feel like I feel that I've met people from lots of different parts of the world, but actually becoming friends with Valencians has not been something that I've experienced. Like, I don't know if you have, but actually, yeah. I don't think you have. Right?
Like, I have, yeah, I have Valencian friends. The majority of them are not, but I have some. And yeah, but I think they're not easy, I think.
Why do you think that is? What happens? What's going on with Valencians? Why are they so hard to befriend? Why don't they want to be our friends? We're nice people. We can be cool. We can be fun.
I think so too. But I don't know, with my friends, like I have like officially two Valencian friends, but one like lives here, but has a house somewhere else. And I think she thinks she belongs on the other place more than Valencia. And the other girl really wanted to expand like from the friendships he already had here, so she started meeting new people from other places. So I don't think it's the same as like Valencian friends, you know?
They're sort of like kind of Valencian, but not really. They're technically Valencian, but not entirely Valencian.
Exactly.
So really, you don't know Valencians. Basically, what you're saying,
them, but.
Right, exactly. We see them on the street all the time. We know they exist. We see them at the supermarket. We see them in bars and in restaurants, but they apparently don't want to have anything to do with us.
Yeah,
basically.
Exacto.
Por lo menos es la impresión que nos da. One of the things that I was going back to this issue of the honeymoon period and when everything is like rosy and then things aren't so rosy. I was thinking, of course, that for me, you were thinking in terms of starting school and like meeting friends. And I was living it through the experience of starting a new job and also kind of thinking, not necessarily about friends, but I was thinking about, you know, who are my coworkers going to be? You know, like who are these people? You know, what is it going to be like to be like, you know, walking down the hallway and having them, and like bumping into them. And just, you know, for context, I was working at a school, here in Valencia. And I remember that very tragically and unfortunately, I had like 2 days of like a honeymoon, like where I was walking through Valencia and like everything was sunny and like the sky was blue. And I was just thinking, I felt like I was walking on clouds.
Yeah.
And then like I had to go to work and everyone, well, not everyone, but like my bosses were just complete assholes.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh crap, what have I gotten myself into? So I didn't actually have much of a honeymoon phase. Like it quickly became just a, you know, very uncomfortable sort of reality. And then more or less, of course, in those first weeks, in those first couple of months, of course I started thinking, all right, so who am I going to hang out with? Like, yeah. who am I going to talk to? Who can I, you know, bitch and moan about, you know, these you know, these shitty people. Exactly. Like, who can I like go have a beer with and say, man, isn't that guy an asshole? You know, like who can I talk to about that? And I realized something that was like really just kind of terrifying, which is that no one at work wanted to talk bad about their bosses. So I quickly realized, como decimos en español, no iba a tener alguien con quien desahogarme, que estuviera viviendo la misma situación. You know, like it was,
claro.
Like I could talk to other people about it, but I couldn't talk to someone who was actually living it. So that was kind of my experience in those first months in terms of realizing that I had maybe ended up in a bad place, and that I wasn't going to be able to meet friends or have like any sort of like group of people that I could go out and have a beer with and just bitch and moan. How long was it for you, like between your first like arriving and then feeling like you had like you could be comfortable with the group of people and just talk about shit?
So in the beginning, for me, I started first having Latino friends. Those were my first friends. And I feel that with them.
And when you say Latino, for maybe the Americans that might be listening to us, what is a Latino?
Okay, so from Latin America. So my friends were from Ecuador, República Dominicana, and Uruguay.
So that's Ecuador, the Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic. And Uruguay, as you say in English.
Uruguay.
I don't know how you say it. Yeah. So first with them, it was really easy to make a friendship because they were, as you said before, they were in the same situation as me. They were coming from their country to study abroad. So I could relate to them a lot. And we all came, because of COVID, we all came at different stages of the year, of the school year. Like, we weren't, like, the Spanish people or the people that already lived here started uni, like.
And let me interrupt you there just for a second, because right now the Americans are going to be really confused. Because okay. we just talked about Latinos from, like, you know, Dominican Republic. And you just said Spanish people. And for Americans, Spanish people, it's all of us.
It's like everyone.
Exactly. Anyone who speaks Spanish is a Spanish person. And so if you're American and you're listening to us, this is the moment to learn there's a difference between people born in Spain that speak Spanish and people born in other parts of the world that speak Spanish. So anyway, so exactly. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, so people from Spain, those are Spanish. So yeah. So I started hanging out with them. It was really easy. Like my first, like in the second month, I was already with them. But then, I don't know, something changed in the dynamic. I met a Spanish girl, and with her, she started introducing me to Spanish friends, and it just became my now group of friends, which are only Spanish people. And like the other Latinos, I don't see as much anymore. But they helped me like with the first months of being in the same situation. And then things just happened. And yeah, it changed. But
So the Latinos are no longer a part of like your normal social life. Like they've just kind of...
Yeah, everyone has gone and done their own thing because of one thing or another. So, yeah.
Right. And just like who drinks more, Latinos or people from Spain? Who's okay. more of a drinker? I kind of feel okay. like the Latinos probably beat the Spaniards, but I don't know.
Yes, but it's different because I think in Latin America, we drink more, like...
We drink like really crazy motherfuckers is what
exactly,
you're trying to say.
But really quickly and like to get really drunk. And in Spain, they don't drink as much, but they drink all the time. So Latinos, like, we have a party and we're getting fucked up. And then Spanish right. people is like, we're getting a beer at 10 a.m., then another one at 2. So they don't drink as much, but they drink more often, I think.
Right. So the Spanish people, they know how to sort of pace themselves. They're always drinking, but you don't always see them fucked up. Whereas
exactly.
Us Latinos, we don't drink as much throughout the day, but when we do drink, we get fucked up.
Exactly. That's a really big difference that I noticed.
Why do you think that is? Why is that?
I don't know.
Are we too American? Are we like Americans? Because Americans like love to do that. Americans, you know, like kids in universities, it's like, let's just get fucked up, man. And you know, like their whole like existence is about just, you know, drinking a keg of beer and throwing it out the window.
I don't know. Like, I think here it helps that within the culture, and not only Spain, but Europe, as we always say, they do day drinking all the time.
Day drinking, by the way, is underrated. If anyone listening to us has not done day drinking, then they are missing out on one of the best.
Better.
I mean, right? Like, isn't it? Like, yeah. I mean, it's just the idea of being in the sun at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon when you know there's like some poor asshole in some office someplace just having a miserable existence, and you're like drinking, you know, an Aperol Spritz, like looking at the river or something.
Exactly.
It's just glorious, right?
Yeah. So I think they have that culture, so they rather do that. And then, like, people do party here and a lot, and they actually party longer. Like, here, the parties, when you go out, you finish at 7 a.m., which
well, because
Mexico,
of, but because of the drugs, though.
No.
Because they're all
not
crazy.
Not necessarily.
All...
like, they do, I do see more drugs here, at least, where I'm...
Like, more openly than in Mexico?
Uh-huh. See. More openly than in Mexico.
Right.
But I think, yeah, it's a culture that I think for me in Mexico, it was just like, there's a party on the weekend and that's the only time that you're going to drink. And here it's more like, we're out of class at 4 p.m. Let's go for a beer. So I think that's why they pace more themselves, because it's different.
It's so true. And the interesting thing about what you're saying is that it, like, I don't know at what age they start, but they keep it for the rest of their lives. Like, if they start at 14 doing that, like, you see all of the old folks, like in the little terrace cafes and bars, you know, they're 60, they're 70, you know, maybe even like 80 years old, and they're still doing it. Like, they're still like having their beer. They're still just enjoying their drink in the morning, in the early afternoon, in the evening. Like, they just, it's just a way of life. It's like a lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. They never stop.
they never stop, and they seem to just, it seems to be healthy, actually. Like
they seem to really enjoy alcohol, and like actually the taste. I think sometimes for us it's just like just to get drunk, and I think they don't drink to get drunk.
Why do you like? I want to think about this for a second, because it's really interesting that getting drunk to get fucked up, even though it tastes like shit, versus enjoying drinking. Like, there's just something, there's something about that. And I think it might also have something to do just with the culture generally, because I'm also thinking about food. Like, the way that Spanish people approach food also tends to be different from the way that we kind of approach food, I think, over... And I'm going to say... But correct me if you disagree, but I think the closer you are to the United States, the more likely it is that something like food will be less important, in the sense that you'll be more prone to eating like junk food, like fast food, like ordering a pizza from like Domino's instead of going to an actual pizza restaurant, or having a hamburger from like McDonald's or Burger King instead of, you know, like a paella, or like something that's more like, you know, like yummy. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think in Mexico, we're so close. We have a lot of things parecidas to the U.S. So I think we tend to do that more than what they do here. And also, I think people sometimes go to fast food because of the price, and it's not that expensive. And to get really good food, in those places, you have to have money, I think. And here you can get really good food, not as expensive. So I think it changes. I think maybe it's that. I don't know.
It might be. Also, I mean, in Mexico, though, we have like tacos.
Yeah, but it's still...
Which are incredible.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. They're real tacos.
Of course, from Mexico City.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's still... It's not healthy. Tacos are not healthy.
True. But then Spanish food... I mean, Spanish food isn't healthy either. I mean,
yeah, I
mean, puro pinche jamón. O sea, no mames, te mata de infarto en... O sea, si
sí,
comes jamón
come
tres
mucho
meses...
pan. Come mucho
y pan.
Y nosotros tortilla, o sea... El pan para, o sea, el pan es España y la tortilla es México, o sea.
Sí, no, y, o sea, los dos valemos madres en ese sentido.
Sí, eso sí. I don't know, pero sí creo que es de cultura, o sea, sí también, like, with my friends, sí, sí siento que sí comen fast food porque, pues, it's everywhere, but I think in less quantities than I would in Mexico.
So what food do you miss the most from Mexico? Because sometimes I find myself like literally fantasizing about these. I used to go to this place called Califa, and they have this bistec taco,
mm-hmm.
or for you Americans, a steak taco. And like they would always, it would always come in so much like steak sauce that my if they brought it in just one tortilla, it would fall apart. So I would always ask for two tortillas. So I would always have like my own like thing that I would do there. Oh my God. Oh my
yeah.
God. So good. But what about you? Like what's your fantasy?
For me, mariscos? How do you, is there a word like
seafood? Yeah, seafood.
Yeah, so seafood, like particularly.
But they have so much seafood here, too.
I know, pero there's mariscos mexicanos, which that's
ver,
my
pero
favorite
explica, pero,
ever.
But okay, explain so the difference.
So it's different, like it's different dishes. Like, yeah, they use shrimp in, here in Spain and shrimp in Mexico, but the preparation is different. And I prefer the Mexican preparation, which can be cocktail de camarones. Ceviche is not Mexican, but you can get it there.
¿De dónde es el ceviche?
Peruano.
Ah.
Yeah.
Parentheses. I'm going to totally change the subject with a completely random little story here. Last night, don't ask me why, I was dreaming of Peru.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't think in my life I have ever dreamt about Peru.
And now and something came
some,
from Peru.
For some fucking reason, I was in the dream and I remember like realizing, oh, I'm in Peru, which is
in Machu Picchu.
I think it probably was.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I digress.
Tostadas de atún, for example. Cóctel de camarón. Like a lot of things. The aguachile. That's, I miss that a lot. So, yeah, it's not like I like seafood here, but it's not the same. And like in Mexico, we like everything with lime and spicy. So that's what is missing here.
Yeah, all right. Exactly. If they had a little bit more of that, then maybe, then they'll be a lot similar.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's que something about the food here, the seafood in particular. I mean, and you know, don't get me wrong. I love Spanish food.
Oh my God, we love it so much.
I mean, right? In fact, it's probably one of the things that I had in mind when the opportunity came to move here. It was like, oh my God, all of that delicious Spanish food.
Cause
and of course,
sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
When I tell my friends that I miss Mexican food, they assume that I don't like Spanish food.
Right, but they
like,
have no idea.
Like, I really love Spanish food. I just miss Mexican food, but it's not a country in which I'm suffering because of that, because they have really good food here also.
Absolutely. What kind of Spanish food do you love? Like what do you like eat and you're like, oh my goodness, this is incredible.
Croquetas.
Yeah, they're great. Although, I mean, they're great, but but they're definitely not one of my favorites. I think pinchos are a lot more like
pinchos.
Just fantastic, you know?
Yeah.
Because the awesome thing about pinchos too is that there's such a crazy variety. Like, I mean, I mean, just think of the idea. It's a piece of bread.
It's a perfect and then idea.
it's the perfect snack.
Exactly.
So it's like you have, and by the way, everyone, that might be like a separate episode, like snacks, because it's another thing that we have in common.
We both love so much.
There's definitely a lot in common with the snacks. But so like the pincho is like a piece of bread. And then the idea is just think of a small piece of bread, a small, tiny little piece of bread. And the whole concept is think of just like change the topping on the bread. Like just think of any crazy thing that you can put on like a little piece of bread. And that's a pincho. And it's just so amazing. And like with a glass of red wine.
Exactly.
Goodness.
That's the best. Yeah.
Pinchos.
We just love food. Both of us.
Well, no, definitely. Si somos unos dragones mal pedo. For sure.
And so
one of the things that I think is clear is that we have very, very strong, very healthy relationships with food. But one of the things that I think we've both sort of experienced in different ways is that it's kind of hard to have romantic relationships in Spain.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's definitely, there's something going on. So we already kind of, And maybe it has to do with this whole issue that we talked about how Valencians in particular are just so kind of hard to meet. But I kind of feel like in general, I haven't really been able to meet a lot of women that are either interested in me or that I'm interested in them. Like there just doesn't seem to be a lot happening there. And a lot of it, of course, As a Gen Xer, one of the things that makes it harder is that after a certain age, it just gets a little bit more awkward to walk into like a bar by yourself. You know, like what do you like? You know, and like imagine like you're just hanging out like with some friends, you know, drinking some wine. And, like some dude comes up to you and is like, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, like it's not going to work probably. Right.
No.
So for a Gen Xer, it's definitely, and being a foreign Gen Xer, it's definitely difficult.
You know what I think it is now that you're saying that? I think Valencia, it's such a small city and a lot of people know each other from their whole lives. So in their adult life, they're still hanging out with people they met in high school. So they already have these groups established. So they're not as open to other people. I think, they just stick to the friends they have always had. So
I think that definitely happens. I think that there's a very big part of that happening. But why do you think... Because also, I mean, we've met people from other parts of the world as well. And it seems like we haven't really had a lot of success in love, you know, with anyone, regardless of whether they're from here or not from here. So is there like a Valencian curse that's just like killing our mojo or what's going on? What's going on here?
Because I feel it because like my friends, like... They are relationships, but none of my friends' relationships, nadie es de Valencia.
Right.
Uno. But still. O sea, no son de Valencia. Three of my friends are in long distance, like inside of Spain. They're not even, like, they're in relationship, but they're not even in relationships here, which is really funny. And then my other friends, for example, the Latinos that I was talking about, they also have partners, but they're from another part. Like, there are other Latinas or from Italy or, I don't know, there's something weird.
If we were like in Barcelona, do you think we'd get more action or like in Madrid or like, I don't know, should we move?
Maybe. No, I think Madrid and Barcelona, have, o sea, tienen más cultura de
ligue.
De ligue y de other people from the world being there. I think Valencia hasn't gotten used to immigrants.
That might be it.
Y como que en Madrid, y en Madrid muy raro es que todos sean españoles en un lugar. Because it's so international that there's people from everywhere. I think Barcelona is the same. And Valencia is getting there, but it's not getting there. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it's like, yeah, in an awkward, like, little in-between stage. Like, I feel that, I feel like in Barcelona, I feel like everyone is hooking up. I just, I feel like everyone is just out of control. Probably. And like, it's just like a giant orgy and people have just, you know, they're just tossing their, you know, under things all over the place.
Under things.
But I don't, I never get that impression here. Like, everything here always seems so kind of boxed in. But I don't know, like, because I've often thought that maybe it's just like, you know, my age, my generation, the people, you know, that are in their late 40s, early 50s, are maybe just not, you know, they're just more boring. But I don't know, like maybe like what you're describing seems to imply that it's not a generational thing necessarily. Like maybe it's just like a cultural thing or maybe we're just like two really ugly ducklings and nobody wants to like get anywhere near us or maybe we just smell bad. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's that like culture and that they don't really want to meet other people. Like I also know so many couples my age or around my age that have been together since middle school even. So they don't bother to meet any more people.
And if you,
hang out with that crew, you're probably going to end up with someone from there too, you know?
Absolutely. Are your friends like starting to get married and shit? Like, are they like, are the, is all that happening now or?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. Like I have like people that I know. Yeah. But they're older, not that older, but they're older. I don't have any friend that is getting married.
Do any of these couples that you know that have been together for their entire lives, like do any of them talk about getting married or marriage at all? Or
like the other day I talked to one of those friends and I asked him like, what is the plan? Because they already live together.
Oh, damn. How old are they?
They're older than me. They're like 28.
Okay, well, that's considerably older.
Yeah, but they have been together since they were like 13, I think.
Damn.
Yeah. And I asked him, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to just live together? And he told me he was going to ask her this year to marry him, but I don't know.
Jesus, Lord.
Yeah.
Is a 28-year-old a Gen Zer or are they like something else?
Okay, so I looked this up, actually. So Gen Z is from 1994 to, I think, 2010, I think it is.
Okay.
So 1994, this year, they're turning 30.
Okay.
Gen Z, like right now, the oldest is 30 and the youngest is probably like 16 or something like that.
Right. Got it. So is it X, millennial, and Z?
Yeah. And now there's the new one that is Alpha.
Generation Alpha. Yeah. My God. That sounds scary.
Yeah. The teens and kids right now.
Do you know anyone of that age? That age group?
No, not really.
No? Because I was gonna ask you if we should be afraid. Should we be terrified?
Yeah, I don't know people, but I have seen on TikTok, for example. And yeah, I think they're scary.
what makes you say that?
Because they are exposed to so much more, I think.
Do you think that's true, though? I mean, like, how much more could they be exposed to than you, for instance?
For me, I think that I was way, like, it's, you can know that. O sea, I was the last generation that, as a baby, I wasn't, like, with my phone in my face. Because
Sure. Like,
my generation got phones when we were teens. Like, sure. It's considerablemente younger than you, obviously. Like,
clearly, of yeah. course.
But, yeah, I think now they see more things than, like, for me, my childhood was, like, Disney movies and, you know. And for them, it's, like, TikTok that has everything you can imagine.
So that's true, I guess.
It's a little bit scary.
I guess that's true. Like, I hadn't really thought about how much of a difference there is between, say, Gen Z and this upcoming generation in terms of how much access they have to these super unfiltered, uncensored content. But I also kind of feel, and I don't know, I mean, because I don't actually know a lot of people that are parents, but I feel, or at least I hope, that parents like would be smarter about that. Like, they're not letting their kids look
at
these.
I think Gen Alpha's parents are millennials, actually. Mostly.
Right.
Because for me, like, I'm a Gen Z and my parents are Gen X. But I don't know how they're handling it. Because millennials, well, I don't know a lot of them, but I think they're still trying to figure out life.
Well, I think we're all still trying to figure out life. I think that's just how it is, and I think it doesn't matter what generation you're from or how old you are.
Yeah, but I don't know parents either, so.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that within these things that we have in common, that despite our age difference, one of the things that we would have in common is to not really know very many parents.
Very many babies either.
or babies. I kind of suspect that when you're older, you will know more people that are parents than I will.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I suspect that too.
It's because I'm such a hater. So life in Spain is, I think, definitely something that we can say that we've enjoyed. Do you feel that it's contributed anything to your, like, to your personality, to the way that you see the world, to, like, I mean, I don't know if you feel that you've been here long enough to feel like it's affected you. I don't know, like, are any of those things true for you?
Yeah, I think that it really has changed me, because I have such a different life here than I have in Mexico. And I have gone back to Mexico multiple times, like for a month. And yeah, I noticed the differences a lot. There's how independent I am. Here, I feel very independent. I can do whatever I want. I go out whenever I want. It's just easier because it's a city that allows you that. And in Mexico, I feel each time I go, I feel more stupid and more dependent of other people to, let's go this place, let's do this, let's do that. I think it's harder. I'm less independent. So I think I have changed that mindset a lot. And also, I feel like in the group of people that I surrounded myself in Mexico, it's a very small portion of the population. And I think that they live in this privileged bubble. And here it isn't like that. And I like that much more. I think I know so many people in Mexico that are superficial. And here I just feel more calm with that. I don't have to pretend anything. I think it's more chill, like, life here.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect word. And just so people kind of understand what you're talking about, the sort of world that we both kind of come from in Mexico City is a very, very privileged little tiny portion of it. And mm-hmm. not that you and I are actually rich, because we're not. We are one of these cases, these unfortunately uncomfortable cases, where we are surrounded by a lot of privilege and a lot of wealth, but we don't necessarily have it ourselves. Mm-hmm. But definitely we move in that sort of world. And one of the things that strikes us, I agree with you entirely. One of the things that strikes me too here is how chill and laid back and egalitarian, you know, like, todo el mundo, like everyone is sort of like on the same sort of level. Like, o sea, el mesero que te atiende en un bar, no se siente como inferior a ti, ni, y si tú le hablas con ese como tono, con esa actitud, o sea, te vas a escupir en la comida y vas a...
Exacto.
O sea, valiste madres, o sea...
Sí.
It's so different.
Sí, la desigualdad de México, pues, es cañona. So, yeah, people are the way they are. And when I came here, I realized that I didn't like that. So... yeah, that's what I think, that my perspective has changed in that.
And as a woman, I suspect it's also very different as well.
Yeah, of course, because living in Mexico as a woman right now, it's not good.
And like, it's so different here, I feel. Like,
it's,
I feel
so
like...
different here. I think you're on this, like, of course there's inequalities everywhere, but I think you're much more at level. And in Mexico, you can see the difference in a lot of different spaces from women to men. And I think here it's a little more balanced. So I feel safer.
Okay. I was going to ask you to go into like a little bit more detail about what you mean by that.
Yeah, I feel safer here. And like, also in Mexico, we have this caballerosidad thing. And like...
do you like that or dislike that?
It depends on what. Like, if it's like opening a door for you, it's fine. Like, that's cute. But like, I think sometimes it's too far. And here you're just the same. And like in Mexico, for example, Mexico City at least, like when you go to a nightclub, the girls don't pay the entrance fee in Mexico City. And the boys do. I think that's so stupid. And like here, that would be unthinkable. Like, I told my friends that and they're like, what the fuck? And because it's so stupid. And things, small things like that, and like who pays the bill and things like that. Here it's just everyone is the same. It's fine. We can, you know. And I actually like that. I think it's better.
And it's not actually... so much of a small thing, because when you think about it, I mean, this whole idea of going to a club but not having to pay, I mean, there's another cost that comes associated with that. It's not,
you know, the product.
Exactly. Like at the end of the day, it's not because, you know, these dudes are just like super generous and super
exactly.
nice.
Exactly. It's not like, let's do this for you. It's not like that. So it's worse.
It's like, let me get you as fucked up as possible so exactly. I can get into your pants.
Exactly. So I like that here, that it's not even a conceivable thing. It's just, it doesn't happen.
One of the crazy things, though, going back to that issue of the gentlemanliness, or whatever the word is, you called it, you said it in Spanish, caballerosidad. I can't pronounce it in either one right now. but one of the things that I find interesting, and it always throws me off, because I'm not necessarily the most gentlemanly person in this world, as you might know. But there's a couple of things, there's a few things that I do just like naturally, it just comes out, like opening a door or letting someone, like letting a woman go by first through a door. I know it's silly. I know it's stupid. Like when you say it out loud, like, why would you let somebody else go through first? Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason for it. Like who gives a shit, right? But it's just something that I've done, and I don't see it as necessarily a bad thing. But whenever I do it here, like all the women, regardless of the age, like they always like stop, like, what is this weird person doing? Like, why isn't he walking?
They're not used to it.
Like not at all. It's like, what's this? So it's like, walk, man. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, I remember like when I have friends from Spain, meet friends from Mexico, and principalmente hombres, like my friends have always told me, like, wow, your friends are so caballeros, because they're not, even the way they talk, that's also another thing. Like, and I, this is not in a negative light, like they actually feel like, oh, they're so nice, because I think they have this, we have this culture in Mexico to be like that, and sometimes it could be nice, sometimes it's not nice. But yeah, my friends in, from Spain notice it, like, oh, the guys here are like so nice, you know.
I can
it's just like, we're the fucking same, get out of my way.
Yeah, you know? And you see, also, like here they almost come off as rude. In fact, everyone, you know, as from our super sensitive Mexican perspective, I feel like everyone kind of always feels like they're a little rude, even though they don't mean to be rude. It's just,
yeah, exactly.
I think our Mexican sensibility just kind of picks it up that way.
And I think it's a Latino sensitivity, because I have always talked to my Latino friends that we always feel like Spanish people are mad at us, yelling at us. And it's just the way they are. But we're not used to that. And like, and on the other side of the coin, my Spanish friends are like, you're always like, oh, so everything is so, you know, like so disfrazado, todo mieloso, you know.
We sugarcoat everything. Yes,
exactly. Yes. That's another culture shock, because they tell you as it is, and that's, at first it's really hard when you, like, I have thought sometimes that my friends are mad at me and they're just telling me something super normal. So yeah,
there's so many interesting differences. One of the things that I've learned in this time here is that despite the similarity in language, like, the cultures are so different. Like,
yeah.
Like, for all of you Americans out there who normally say, you know, use the term Spanish people and think that we're all the same, you'd be surprised.
Different.
Exactly. You'd be surprised at just how fucking different we all are.
It's like, when Americans don't get that, it's weird to me, because I think they know of the existence of English people. So that's how I always make the difference for them. Like, you know, Mexico and Spain are like the United States and the UK. They speak the same language, but it's different accents. It's a different culture. They're on the other sides of the world. So that's how you can understand it a little bit better.
And I think even that might be a challenge for some people.
For some, yeah.
I think for some people that might even be like, oh, English people, right. They're not American, are they? No, they're not.
No, they're not.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think we covered a lot of good ground for our first episode here. I think our listeners will be highly enlightened and entertained by these, by this exchange of opinions between generations.
Yeah, we hope that people that have moved across the world can relate to things that happen, and specifically in Spain, because every place is different. But yeah, it's pretty.
And if there's, and yeah, and if there's any experiences that you'd like to share yourself, if any of you listening have any some sort of similar story, or if you want to comment on anything, well, let us know. Drop us a line and we'll be happy to read it.
Yeah.
Pal, we'll be talking later.
Thank you, Camilo.
Thank you, pal.
Stop.
Bye.
Bye.